turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Book of Revelation, chapter 20. I'd like to read verses 11 through verse 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them, that is, heaven and earth. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Without going into detail, we want to mention the chronology leading up to this passage. The Bible teaches that the Lord Jesus Christ will return. And when he does, there will be a resurrection. There will be a rapture of all the saved. This is the next great event in God's plan of redemption. The unsaved will be left behind to experience 7 years of tribulation upon the earth. It is known as the tribulation period. It will be the most horrible, dreadful, and agonizing time that the earth has ever seen. Everything is moving in that direction. The government of that time is pretty much in place. And then, following this 7 year tribulation, remember the Lord has come for his saints, for the saved. In Revelation 19, he will return with his saints. And we read at the beginning of chapter 20 that he will set up his 1,000-year kingdom upon the earth. Following that 1,000-year millennial kingdom, Satan will be loosed for a while. We see this in Revelation 20, prior to our text. And then he will be completely defeated, cast into the lake of fire. The earth will be purged with fire. And then comes our text, verses 11 through 15. Back in Revelation 1 and verse 19, John was instructed to write down the things that the Lord would show him. The book of Revelation is the record of what the Lord showed him. And you'll notice our text opens in verse 11 with, "And I saw." And I saw. We see those words again in verse 12, "And I saw." What he saw, I imagine that John trembled as he put his hand, as he put his pen to the parchment to write down this vision. It is a vision of the resurrection. of the unsaved. It is a vision of eternal damnation. What we read here in Revelation 20 is what Jesus referred to in John 5, verse 29, as the resurrection of damnation. What we read here is unsaved man's day in God's court. It is the final tribunal. It is the final judgment of Almighty God upon the unsaved. You read Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15, and what you read there is a coming and a sure event for those without Christ. If you leave this life without Jesus Christ, you will be summoned to this event. You will be here in this event. If you leave this life without Jesus Christ, this event is inescapable. It cannot be avoided. If you leave this life without Jesus Christ, you will arrive at what we read here in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. It is a reminder to all the unsaved, judgment day is coming. Judgment day is coming. It is a part of what Paul spoke of in 1 Thessalonians 1 in verse 10, the wrath to come. Revelation 20 verses 11 through 15 is a part of the wrath to come. Now we read in verse 12 of our text, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. There is a standing before God. This is true of the saved, but there will not be the saved in this event. This is a standing before God of all who leave this life without Jesus Christ. Someone says, well, I don't believe in God. You will still stand before Him. This is the most dreadful of all gatherings. Notice again, these who stand before God will be judged. Verse 12, about three quarters down, a little over half down. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Last part of verse 13. And they were judged, every man, according to his works. Twice we are told that these individuals standing before God will be judged. We see they will be judged according to their works. We'll say more about that later. The end result is, and we are twice told in verse 14 and 15, the end result of the judgment is that they were cast into the lake of fire. What we read here ought to cause the unsaved sinner to tremble. But they don't. Because Satan has convinced them that this is not real. Satan has convinced them that if it is real, that you will somehow escape this event. But if you are here today without Jesus Christ, you need to see yourself in this passage. You need to see yourself in this gathering, standing before God. I want to speak this morning on the most dreadful of all gatherings. The most dreadful of all gatherings. Consider, first of all, the scene that is pictured here in these verses. Again, what we have here is the unsaved sinner, if you will, in God's court. And this is a different courtroom than any other courtroom. And it is the last courtroom that will ever convene. Those who stand before God at this time will experience a very different kind of court than the courts of the world. First of all, there will be no debate about guilt or innocence. None. None. There will be a prosecutor, the one who sits upon that throne, but there will be no defender. None. There will be an accuser, also the one who sits upon the throne. But there will be no advocate for the accused. There will be an indictment, but there will be no case for those who are judged. There will be a swift presentation of the convicting evidence, but there will be no rebuttal. None. There will be an utterly unsympathetic judge and no jury. None is needed. There will be a sentence, but there will be no appeal. This is the highest court. You say, well, I'll take it to the Supreme Court. There will be Supreme Court justices standing before this throne. There will be a punishment, but there will be no parole. There will be no shenanigans. There will be no theatrics at this trial. There will be no plea bargaining. There will be no witnesses. None are needed. Because the one who sits upon the throne knows all. And he has seen all. So let's look at this scene. The first thing that we come to is there is a throne. John writes in verse 11, I saw a great white throne. That is, I saw a royal seat. A seat of majesty. A seat of power. A seat of authority. a seat of judgment. This throne is described as great, not because of its size, but because of its difference from all other thrones. There is no throne to compare to this throne. None. It is called great because of its significance. There is no throne of equal significance anywhere. It is called great because of its elevation. There is no higher throne. It is called great because of its eminence, because of its magnificence, because of its awesomeness. It is the most awe-inspiring throne that there is. It is called great because of the authority, the majesty, and the power that it represents. It is a throne of absolute sovereignty. The throne also is said to be white. A great white throne. I believe that speaks of its purity. All human courts that have ever convened are tainted by sin and tainted by fallibility. But this throne is untainted. It's incorruptible. It has no imperfection whatsoever. And the judgment that is rendered from this throne will be perfectly fair and righteous. I saw a great white throne. The throne by itself is imposing. Which leads us to the second thing, the occupant upon this throne. This is not an unoccupied throne. This is not a throne that has been vacated. Notice again in verse 11, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. And him that sat on it. John sees one sitting upon this throne. And though the identity of this one is not revealed here in Revelation chapter 20, the Bible in other places does tell us who it is that sits upon this throne. We read in John 5 in verse 22, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." In John chapter 5 in verse 27, "And hath given him," Jesus, "authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." And in Acts chapter 10, in verse 42, speaking of Christ, "He which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead." And in Acts 17 and verse 31, "Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he raised him from the dead." And in Romans 2 and verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. So there is a great white throne. And the one who sits upon this throne is God in the person of Jesus Christ. And He is sitting there for one purpose: to judge. Sitting there upon that white throne is the Almighty, the Eternal, the Immutable, the Infinite, All-Knowing One. And He's sitting there to judge. Sitting there on that throne is the One who fills all, the One who is all. Sitting there is the Creator and the Sustainer of all. Sitting there upon that throne is the One who has universal dominion. Sitting upon this great white throne is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lord of Glory, the God of heaven and earth, the resurrected conqueror of sin, death, the grave. One who sits upon this throne is holy. He's spotless. He's pure. He's impeccable. And He's sitting there as judge. Sitting upon this great white throne is He who is without any sin. He has no faults. He has no flaws. He has no defects. There is not a blemish on Him. He's without any weakness. And He's sitting there as judge. Sitting upon that throne is the very essence of holiness and justice and truth. And He's there to judge. Sitting upon that throne is the sin-offended God. And He is sitting there as judge. And I saw Him that sat on it. He cannot be deceived. He cannot be mistaken. He cannot be bribed. He cannot be swayed. Sitting there on this great white throne is the One who has been given a name above every name, the name Jesus. The very One who walked this earth and was hated and rejected of men sits upon this throne. And He's sitting there to judge. Notice the effect that the One sitting upon this throne has in verse 11, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Whose face? The face of this One is described in Revelation 1 and verse 16, where it says, His countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength. So those who are standing before this throne are blinded by the glory of the One who sits there. They are in the very presence of holiness. Very presence of God's glory. And as imposing as the throne, the one sitting upon the throne, is of greater significance than the throne, is of greater eminence than the throne, is of greater majesty and awesomeness than the throne. Everything stands in awe. Heaven and earth stand in awe of the one who is sitting upon this throne. So much so that they vanish away. So everything stands in awe of the majesty and the glory of the one who sits upon this throne. Imagine what John felt as he saw this. Imagine what he felt as he penned these words. So we have a great white throne. We see that one is sitting upon the throne. And then in verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Now we see the ones gathered before this throne. All throughout human history, all the unsaved throughout human history will make up this gathering before God. Everyone gathered at this scene, like all of mankind, is a sinner against God. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone standing before this throne is a sinner before God. Everyone gathered at this scene is guilty. We've said earlier, there will be no debate about guilt or innocence. Everyone before this throne is guilty. They've already been condemned. They're just awaiting sentence. Everyone gathered at this scene is polluted, filthy, and vile. And oh, how they will recognize it standing in the presence of holiness. Everyone at this scene is unrighteous. As Paul said in Romans 3 and verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. They are all without the righteousness that God requires. The righteousness that they thought they had, Isaiah 54:6, is nothing but filthy rags. And there they stand. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. There they stand with all the sins that they've ever committed. There they stand without any righteousness. There they stand, totally unacceptable before God. Everyone gathered before that throne is dead in trespasses and sins, condemned, and absolutely hopeless. There's no hope for those who stand before this throne. If you're here and lost today, your hope is today. Your hope is while you have breath. But after that, there is no hope. Everyone gathered before that throne is without Christ. Without Christ, they are alienated from God. They are all spiritually bankrupt. They have no justification to plead. They have no righteousness to plead. There they are, in the filth, in the vileness, and in the abomination of their sins. If you're here and unsaved, can you picture this scene? Try to imagine it in your mind. Whatever you imagine in your mind falls far, 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 far short. But try to picture this scene. And can you see yourself at this scene before God? Because if you leave this life without Christ, you will end up in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. All the unsaved throughout human history will be there before God. None is left out amongst the unsaved. None will escape. Everyone who leaves this life without Christ will be included in this scene. But notice, after John saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, he says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." All will face the righteous judge. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. There will be men. There will be women. There will be boys and girls of all languages, of all backgrounds, all skin colors, all cultures. There will be those who lived wealthy lives. There will be those who lived lives of poverty. There will be those who were famous. And there will be those who were unknown. But all who knew not Christ, no matter what their status on this earth was, will be there. Those without Christ, whom the world has lauded with praise and prestige and honor, they'll all be there. They won't have any of their prestige, but they'll be there. As you look at this gathering, I believe you can see kings, princes, queens, presidents, vice presidents, world leaders of all kinds who knew not Christ. Looking upon this gathering, there will be sports heroes. Those who were sports heroes, they won't be there. There will be those who had extraordinary ability, but they knew not Christ. Looking upon this gathering, there are those who were Hollywood stars. They won't be there. There will be those who were entertainers. And oh, there'll be a religious multitude there as well. I believe there'll be popes and priests and nuns and Baptist preachers and Baptist deacons and Baptist church members. And there will be founders of false religious movements. There will be those who were considered on earth to be faithful to God. But without Christ, they'll be there. There will be there those who were raised in church, spent all their days in church. But without Christ, they'll be there. Looking over this gathering, you will find those that lived somewhat moral lives upon the earth. Those who were well respected upon the earth. And as you look over the crowd, there will also be there those who live lives of drunkenness, live lives of prostitution. There'll be pimps. There'll be pushers. There'll be grandmothers and grandfathers, moms and dads, all without Christ, without exception, will be there, gathered before this throne. John said, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. This is the most fearful of all gatherings. Every now and then you'll hear some fool say, well, I'll just give God a piece of my mind when that time comes. Oh, you're a fool. How this great multitude is brought before the one who sits upon that great white throne is recorded in verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. There's a resurrection that takes place. The bodies of the unsaved throughout all time will be united to their souls to stand before God. All the unsaved who ever perished in the sea, they will be raised. All the unsaved who have ever been placed in graves will be raised. All the unsaved who have ever been cremated will be raised. This is the summons. It's inescapable. Oh, today people put the body of the lost sinner in the ground and they think that's the end. Their soul is already burning in hell. And one day they're going to be raised even out of hell, their souls, to be reunited, their bodies, to stand before God. And I believe that when they see the one sitting upon that throne, they will want to flee. But there will be no place found for them. They will want to hide. But there will be no hiding. And there they are, sinners, before a holy and righteous God. There they are, guilty sinners, with absolutely nothing to offer or plead for their souls. This is the most fearful an agonizing gathering of all. Again, unsaved sinner, picture the scene. Picture yourself before God. Notice also the judgment and sentence that proceeds from this throne. So here's this gathering of all unsaved individuals. And I see them there, they're trembling. The fool who said, "I'll tell God," is there trembling. With terror and horror at the sight of the one sitting upon that throne. And then we read in verse 12. Again, I picture this gathering. They're trembling in absolute horror. And then we read, "And the books were opened." And the books were opened. In all the panic and the distress of this moment, the books were opened. And notice, they were judged out of the things which are written in the books according to their works. So there they are before the Holy Son of God. No sin that they've committed is hidden. It's all in the books. No sinful thought that they've ever had is concealed. All is revealed before the perfect Son of God. And it says they were judged according to their works. That's one of the saddest sentences in all the Word of God. Because we read in Romans 3 and verse 20, "By the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in His sight." You talk to many people today, and many will tell you that they are hoping that their good outweighs their bad. I want to tell you the worst thing that can possibly happen to you is for you to be judged according to your works. And everyone standing there that day will be judged according to the works. All the so-called good works of man, they all fail to meet God's standard of perfection. And I believe that this judgment, what we read in Philippians 2, verse 10 and 11, will take place. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue should confess that Jesus is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee will bow, but it's too late. Every tongue will confess, "He is Lord, He is Lord." Oh, what a fool I've been. In our text, twice we read the sentences passed. They were cast into the lake of fire. No one at this judgment will escape the lake of fire. Not a single individual standing before this throne will find forgiveness. Not a single one will find repentance. Not a single one will find salvation or mercy. Today, while you have breath, is the time for these things. What a solemn scene. A great white throne and Him that sat on it. And standing for the one upon that throne is the guilty, unsaved sinner in all their sins. With nothing to plead and with no one to speak on their behalf. Judged according to their works. The end result being and cast into the lake of fire. Oh, what a dreadful scene. Unsaved sinner, can you see yourself at this scene? Lastly, I want to say that all mankind will have either a fair trial or a free pardon. A fair trial or a free pardon. What we read in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15, is a fair trial before God. The end result of this fair trial is cast into the lake of fire. And this is just. And this is right. We read in Deuteronomy 32 in verse 4, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. Years ago, a man told me, I just hope that God gives me a fair shot. You'll get a fair trial, my friend. And the end result will be you'll be cast into the lake of fire. There is no unfair trial with God. You see, man has absolutely no hope in a fair trial before God. The hope of mankind is a free pardon. That's our hope. You see, because there is such a thing as forgiveness, there is such a thing as acquittal for the guilty and vile and hell-deserving sinner. Praise God for what we read in Nehemiah 9, verse 17, for Thou art a God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful. And what we read in Micah 7, in verse 18, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? God does pardon guilty and filthy sinners, but only in and through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is where the guilty can find pardon. It is where the alienated from God find nearness. It's where the unrighteous find the righteousness that is acceptable to God. It is where the condemned are justified. It is where the polluted are cleansed, only in Jesus. It's where the enemies of God are reconciled. It's where the one who is enslaved to sin is set free. Only in Jesus is the unacceptable, and we're all unacceptable. Only in Jesus is the unacceptable accepted. Only in Jesus is the bankrupt made rich. Only in Jesus the hopeless find hope. You see, Jesus Christ is God's one and only solution that man so desperately needs. Only in Jesus Christ can you find hiding? Can you find safety and protection and security and immunity from the wrath to come? Only in Jesus Christ do you find immunity from standing before this great white throne judgment. As a condemned sinner, and I want to say that everyone here that's unsaved, whether you realize it or not, you depend on something. You depend on something. You don't really believe that this will be you one day. You say, well, I believe what it says, but you don't believe it'll be you. Man seeks all sorts of refuge. Religion. Feelings. Baptism. Good works of all sorts. Morality. If you are depending upon any of these or anything other than Jesus Christ, you live under the wrath of God. And one day, all your refuges, which are refuges of lies, will be swept away. They'll be swept away. And as a condemned sinner without Christ, you can comfort yourself by putting these things away from your mind. My mom's next door neighbor has told me many times, "Danny, don't talk about those things. I don't like to think about it." Doesn't matter. You can try to put it out of your mind. That doesn't change it. It doesn't change the fact that death is coming. And when it comes, your soul will immediately go to the imaginable agony, torture, anguish, and misery of hell. And one day, with your body, one day will be united with your body to stand before God, only to be cast into the lake of fire. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, I pray and I pray and I pray that you would see and feel the grave danger that you are in simply because you are a sinner before God. You may say, "But I'm a pretty good person. I try and do this and this and this." But what you need to understand is that you are a sinner before a holy and righteous God. Oh, that you would see and feel the danger that you are in simply because you are a sinner. And that you would flee from your sin. Flee from yourself. Flee from everything that you are trusting in for acceptance before God. And flee to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Because there is pardon, free pardon in Jesus Christ. Outside of Him, there is a fair trial before God, with the end result being cast into the lake of fire. Again, there will be no forgiveness once you leave this life. There will be no salvation once you leave this life. Realize today that the time for those things, the time for forgiveness, the time for salvation is now. Is now. You say, "Well, I'm going to think about it." While you're thinking about it, you may die. Pray that God would show you. Cry out to God. Cry out to God to show you your condition today. I rejoice that Jesus saves. Amen. But He is the one and only door. No man cometh unto the Father but by the Son. You say, well, that's awfully narrow-minded. That's what he says. You take that up with God. But there's only one way. I'm glad today I deserve and I should stand before God at the great white throne judgment. But I'm glad I never will, because I have a free pardon in Jesus Christ. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse song.